Upon the examination of the galaxies of space, images begin to appear. Images of strange and powerful forces. But of all the forces in the universe, the most powerful
is Talk Can Audio.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome inside an all-new edition of the Talk Can Audio podcast. It is the granddaddy of them all. It is the showcase of the immortals. We bring you the immortal Kevin Mickey to talk some WWE WrestleMania. What's happening, buddy?
Oh, what you gonna do, brother? You know, it's funny you mentioned the granddaddy of them all, because apparently you weren't supposed to call it that anymore because it makes it sound old.
Right.
Because, you know, grandfathers are old. And, that's bad. But now with Vince gone, all of a sudden, can we call it the granddaddy of them all now? Can we call it wrestling? That's the main question.
I've seen people saying professional wrestling on the professional wrestling shows I'm watching. It's been weird.
That's monumental. How does that happen?
Well, the other one I know for a while, and I guess it's back, is you weren't allowed to, was it after 20? Was it after 30? You weren't allowed to call it WrestleMania 33 anymore, because that's not a cool age, right? Like, that's old sounding now. It's just WrestleMania, but now they're actually leaning back into WrestleMania 40,
that makes sense. It's such a big number.
Yeah.
It's like, it's huge, monumental.
Well, and it's always like, it's never really bothered the UFC to get to like UFC 200, and you're like, damn, that sounds really impressive. They've done that many of them. Vince is like, no, not us. We don't do that. So
UFC's at UFC 300 now.
Yeah.
And like, everyone is saying like, oh, it's a round number. It's a big number. They want to make it big.
Right.
And yes, that's exactly what WWE should be doing too. And that seems like what they're doing with WrestleMania 40. It seems quite large this year.
Yeah, no, it's true. We're going to get into all of it. There's been a change in leadership, which means a change in direction with the way the company's going, the stories they're telling, and apparently their ability to number their own events. So shout out to them for that, I guess. Kev, you know, we like to talk a little beer here. I don't know if you're working later on, so if you've been able to bring something to the table. If not, I'm curious, you know, if you've tried anything good lately down in the GTA craft beer scene. What have you been into?
So I moved somewhat recently, and I'm up in Newmarket now, which is just north of Toronto, like 45 minutes-ish.
Yeah.
And they have this brewery called Market Brewing, which I've tried before, but now that I'm here, I can always pop over and grab something. And they have something called the Goliath Cold Pale Ale.
Okay.
Which is kind of like a mix between a lager and a pale ale. Anyways, it's the Goliath Cold Pale Ale from Market Brewing in Newmarket. It's good shit. Very, very good.
That's one you've been leaning on to ingratiate yourself to the locals and the new neighbors. And
that's right. Yeah, I said, look at me. I'm part of your network now, your community.
I got one here from the Brew Revolution Brewery out in Stittsville, or Stitts Vegas, as the cool kids call it, the ones who haven't hit 40 like me in WrestleMania. This is their Vienna Lager. I wasn't sure what to make of this, because I'm not always a big Vienna Lager guy, but I'm going to give this a shot. Kevin's been sitting in the fridge for a while. It was a gift from somebody at Christmas. I think it's time I get into this one. Is that
It'd
a style you normally
at this
to?
Point?
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, Vienna Lagers. I'm kind of with you there. It's just kind of been It's never something I seek out. If you know, whatever. If it's like, if I'm at the brewery and they have a lager like that, and I'm going to try a flight,
right?
Yeah, maybe I'll get a little sample. But I'm usually never buying singles, like single cans or bottles or anything like that.
So this is exactly
not my bag, baby.
It is meh. It is there is absolutely nothing wrong with it, but it is exactly what you would expect when ordering a Vienna Lager. It's kind of plain.
Like, if I ever go watch a movie and it's a movie that you just kind of watch it and you go, well, I'll never think about this again. and you just kind of move on with your life.
That's about it. And so, you know, that's sort of how I would describe this. As I said, there's nothing wrong with it. If you're the type of person who likes a Vienna Lager, I assume you'll like this. I try and make that clear on the show that, like, just because it's not for me doesn't mean it's a bad beer. It's just not for me. So, and I assume if you are into this style, you will like it, because everything else that I have tried from Brew Revolution, I pretty much always like. They make good stuff out in Stitt's Vegas. So
that's good. I should mention that one of my favorite beers from Reinhard Brewing in Toronto is it's called Daywalker. They haven't brewed it in, I want to say, 2 years now, but I've heard a rumor that it's coming back.
Mm.
And it's a session IPA. It's light. It's like 4%. But it is spectacular. Session IPAs are some of my favorites. Just something with flavor, crisp. Drink a lot of them. Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Daywalker. It's supposed to be coming back.
What'd you say the brewery
was
called?
Highly recommend. Reinhard.
Where are they?
They're in the Stockyards area. So
okay.
Yeah, just like Bloor and where Dundas kind of intersects with it, and okay. a little further north of that.
All right, yeah. I'm not sure I don't think I've heard much about that. I know a lot of the Toronto ones, they just, you know, your brewery subscriptions and things like that, and different people trying different things. I'm not sure I'd heard that brewery before, so I've learned something new here from you.
I'm happy to have taught you something on this fine day. They're fantastic because they're also huge Simpsons fans. So a nice. Ton of their different beers are like named after Simpsons. One of them is called Pure West, like from when Homer meets Batman and Robin. And he goes, "Look, kids, Batman. Dad, that's not Batman." It's like, "Oh, you're probably thinking of the new Batman. Look at this, Pure West."
And how come Batman doesn't dance anymore?
Man, when I went in to go compliment them on that beer, that's exactly what the head brewer's there, and that's exactly what he said to me. And he goes, "How come Batman doesn't dance anymore?"
Remember the anyways, thank you.
Yeah. Adam West! Hey, kids, Batman!
Dad, that's not the real Batman.
Of course I'm Batman. See, here's a picture of me with Robin.
Who the hell's Robin?
Oh, I guess you're only familiar with the new Batman movies. Michelle Pfeiffer. Ha. The only true Catwoman is Julie Newmar, Lee Merriweather, or Eartha Kitt. And I didn't need molded plastic to improve my physique. Pure West. And how come Batman doesn't dance anymore? Remember the bat to see? Yo, hey,
nice meeting you. Just keep moving. Don't make eye contact.
Great. They also have a great new beer. Sorry to interrupt you again.
By all
means. Called Smarch Weather. Just, again, spectacular. feels like it is right now in all of Ontario, essentially. Yeah. Lousy Smarch Weather.
It's about that, man. I thought, you know, we're cruising into kind of early, mid-April here. This, whatever this is, I thought we dodged it all winter and we were going to miss it, but it's back or it's here. I don't know what's going on. So we'll see what that's all going to look like. And then we can all go blow our retinas out on Monday. It's a good week here of natural phenomenon. Yeah. I want to talk to you before we get into WrestleMania itself, just kind of the state of the business, because you and I have talked about this before. I've always been a guy who will circle back for the big shows, but I've gone through phases where I'm kind of like, this isn't all that much fun. I'm not watching every week. But ever since Triple H took over creative and ever since Cody's been back and the story they've told with the Bloodline and Roman Reigns and everything, it's felt fresher. And that doesn't mean I was suddenly watching all 3 hours of Raw and all 2 hours of SmackDown every week, but it had my attention more and I would seek out the big segments. And over the last 6 months or so even, it has been closer to my old teenage viewing habits where I do feel like I want to watch most, if not all, of these shows. And we're seeing stats now. I think they were talking on Monday night at Raw in Brooklyn that was the biggest gate they've ever had for a televised show. Obviously, for a pay-per-view, they've done bigger. But for a standard Raw or SmackDown show, that's the biggest gate they'd ever done. You might have this number better than I do and can correct me if I'm wrong. I think they said this was 13 straight TV broadcasts or TV shows that they had sold out the building it was on or building that it was in. Is this like, I don't know how you want to compare this to what we all at people our age think back to as the Attitude Era with The Rock and Austin and the numbers they were doing then, which we all sort of thought you'll never see that again. That was a once in a lifetime sort of having the two of the three biggest stars in wrestling history all on TV and at the same time with The Rock and Austin and all that stuff. Like, does this compare to that? It doesn't feel like maybe the crossover is there into pop culture and mainstream knowledge, but the business itself in terms of what the wrestling business is doing and what wrestling fans are watching, it feels like this is as hot as it's been in probably 20 years.
Yeah, I'd definitely say you're not far off from that. I mean, I have people at the Sportsnet offices who are coming up and asking me about wrestling and asking me if if what they're or what they're hearing is as good as what they're hearing actually is.
Right.
And the answer is usually yes. It's been pretty damn entertaining. Mm-hmm. The sports entertainment product is putting on a good pro wrestling show. It's really incredible. So I've been seeing conflicting reports on the sellout streak. Okay. I thought that I saw that I think 13 is what they're touting it as now, as of
remember tote? Go we're trying to do tote. Are we still doing tote?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're gonna tote. They said that this past Monday, the Go Home edition of Raw was 13 in a row. But then I saw something the week before or 2 weeks before that a show in Raleigh actually wasn't a complete sellout. They had like 200 tickets left or something like that. Okay. But WWE is still saying like, yep, no, it's a sellout. Right. Whatever. WWE numbers.
Sure.
And sure, they can have their 13 in a row sellout streak. But I'll also say that it's a good modern day number, but back in the day, I mean, the territories, you were drawing dozens in a row for sellout streaks, especially even things that
but
were
often
on TV,
in much
like,
smaller buildings
TV.
Too, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, even in like places like Puerto Rico, you're drawing like over 16,000.
Okay.
16,000 every single week for something that would then air on television.
They know
how
to have a good time down there.
Oh yeah. The Puerto Ricans, definitely. So, I mean, the business is hot. A lot of that has to do with who's involved, how it's being booked, the stories that are on top, filtering down to the talent that are in the lower portions of the card. I look at it right now and I kind of attribute pro wrestling success to the depth of talent, as we're finally so close to getting away from being able to use anyone that competed in the 90s and early 2000s, that you really have no more reliance on those stars. And it's very ironic I say that.
To wrestle
exactly.
In the main event.
Exactly. It's very ironic I say that. I understand that. And that's not to say they're not using them, but the business has no choice but to move forward with stars of today, with fewer and fewer stars from yesteryear to rely upon. And you're seeing that's particularly in AEW. I mean, Sting is no longer there. They used him spectacularly. Ric Flair bounces around promoting whatever the hell woo energy is. And then you have a couple of other guys that just bob and weave around that were kind of around back in the day, but not guys. And that's like in WWE as well. You have The Rock, Sure, one of the biggest stars in pro wrestling history. But then it's a lot of homegrown talent, and homegrown is subjective. I understand that. It's Sami Zayn homegrown, is Kevin Owens homegrown. Sure. We can all debate that. Sure, whatever. But all those guys are now WWE guys, and they are put in positions of prominence on the card week after week, year after year. And now pro wrestling fans who are both hardcores and casuals know these people. We notice. They know what's going on. So they're happy to see everybody involved. Each match is interesting one after another. There's not a lot of turnover in the industry right now either, because there's two different large brands. You can go from one side to the other and still feel like you're in a prominent role. Like shout out Lex Luger going from WCW to WWE back to WCW. It's kind of like that, where like you see a guy that's on top in both companies go back and forth, and it makes the product better because you know that person and you know that this person is a big deal. Look at Sasha Banks, or pardon me, Mercedes Moné going over to AEW all of a sudden. You know who that is. That's a big deal. The popularity of wrestling will always be cyclical. That much I will always say. I will always believe that wrestling is cyclical, no doubt. And we are at a peak right now. And this peak is approaching a peak that, like you said, we haven't seen in 20, 25 years. It has been damn, damn good.
It really has. And like, I think it's an interesting point you make up out.
Everything I say, I make up.
That for a lot of years, especially through kind of the 2010 through 2018, 2019, a little longer than that. And it's not to rip on any of these guys, but it always felt like you were afraid to let Kevin Owens be the guy, or Sami Zayn be the guy, or, you know, Roman eventually got there when they stopped trying to shove him down your throat as the next, you know, great babyface. But every year at WrestleMania, it'd be like, oh, we're bringing back Goldberg, or we're, Triple H is going to wrestle years after he should. Like, you were always kind of reaching back to this previous generation. And it presented this, I don't know, this feeling that, like, your current guys aren't as big. All the biggest stars are the guys that were here before. Even if you don't want to go back as far as the 90s, like, you bring back Batista and have him headline a WrestleMania. And it always felt like on the big shows, when we really want you to pay attention, we'll go get some older guys and not let the younger guys kind of take the show and make them feel like a big deal. And this year, you know, we can joke about The Rock, and he has been fantastic, but he's going to be in a tag match with their three current top stars. He is not pushing someone else down. He's not pushing someone else off the show. So this is an easier way to use him and have him complement the stories you're already trying to tell, and as opposed to making him... And they did try, it looked like, to make him kind of the main event. But it does look like they have turned the page. And maybe it's because, as you point out, nothing more than age. Like, these guys can't do it anymore. I don't think we need to see Goldberg ever get in the ring again.
No, please no.
Right. And so this feels, maybe for the first time in a long time, not just big, but fresh and big.
Well, you look at somebody like Randy Orton, who I would say is their biggest long-term star full-time, not The Rock. We're not counting The Rock here.
Yeah.
And he's on the card, but he's in a triple threat match for the United States Championship. He's not main eventing. In yesteryear, perhaps they still relied upon Randy Orton to draw that rating or pop the casual fan eye and just try and make sure that you know who is in the main event. Maybe the management of yesteryear would say, I'm not sure Cody Rhodes is widely known enough yet to put him in the main event, when everybody else would cry out and say, what the fuck are you talking about? Of course he is. He's the most popular wrestler in the business right now. Now you have somebody like Randy Orton, just kind of a mid-card guy who's, and this is no slight towards Randy Orton, still a great performer, still very popular, justifiably so. You put him in that spot because he can just elevate anybody else he works with. He's in the triple threat match against Logan Paul with Kevin Owens there too.
Right.
Kevin Owens, one of the biggest stars you have. Randy Orton, the biggest long-term star you have. Logan Paul, drawing whoever the hell likes Logan Paul, which is apparently a ton of people.
Yeah.
Good for him. It's fascinating to watch how WWE has evolved throughout the years of Triple H putting his fingers kind of into the recipe, and now he finally has the whisk. He finally has the, I don't know how to bake.
He got to do the shopping before.
Yeah, there you go.
All of it. Like, he chose the ingredients. He's now the one who's going to pick the recipe and make the final product. And do you think it was just as simple as, like, I got to a point where WrestleMania, and maybe it was because I was one of those casual fans at that point, that was like, I used to watch this, and so I know WrestleMania is a big deal, so I'll check in, see what they got, and maybe I'll watch WrestleMania again this year. And so they were, in a period where the business was down a little bit, needing people like me. Like, we better give them a Batista or a Stone Cold or a something, because they won't know our current guys. And so WrestleMania sort of became this mainstream, almost like the big awards show, right? Or the Super Bowl. Like, nobody, like, if you aren't a person who watches the NFL, you probably do watch the Super Bowl, because everybody does. And so they were trying, it felt like, to turn WrestleMania into that. Even if you don't know our current stories and our current products, we will have something there for you. Whereas now, it sort of feels like they are confident enough, they have leaned into it and just said, WrestleMania is the name. Like, if you watch WrestleMania every year, you'll probably still come back, and maybe we'll hook you with our actual current stars instead of embarrassing 53-year-olds or whatever else is going on. It just feels like a different philosophy. That's like, we're going to trust that the name itself will sell, and then, you know, you do still have The Rock, maybe the biggest movie star in the world. But beyond that, yeah, come on in. It's still going to be WrestleMania. It's going to be big. It's going to be huge. But instead of it being sort of like back when they used to try and sell it on celebrities, instead of selling it on old school wrestlers, they're going to sell it on the name, and you'll come in and you'll watch these great young athletes that we have now doing this. And it just feels like a different philosophy.
Absolutely. I agree. And I was actually kind of thinking of the celebrity factor, and I was like, who's the celebrity on this year's WrestleMania? And
Logan Paul.
Is it Logan Paul? Yeah,
I guess it's
Logan Paul. Sure.
We did also, the Jackass thing, right?
And yeah. Well, yeah, even, was it last year? with Stone Cold and Kevin Owens. Yep. Was that last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was fun.
So like that was great. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. And like good for Kevin Owens, who showed that he is one of the biggest stars in the company by way of being able to hang with Stone Cold freaking Austin.
Right.
Steve Austin. Also, I should also mention with apologies to Rey Mysterio, who I left off of being alongside Randy Orton.
Sure.
Rey Mysterio, one of the big stars from yesteryear as well. And he's wrestling in a tag team match that I really, you know, sure. It's against it's against his son. So, you know, it could be interesting. Whatever.
What is that? What is that match? Right?
Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee, who are part of LWO,
yeah,
versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom.
I missed that somehow, because I know they got that giant other tag team ladder match with the Judgment Day and everything. Okay, so.
Yeah, that'll be insanity,
yeah,
no doubt.
Well, so
it'll be fun.
The premise that they've built here for the main event slot, which is, you know, kind of been built up over 2 years, Cody Rhodes trying to chase down the championship that his father, Dusty Rhodes, never won.
You're not saying it right. He's trying to finish the story.
He's finishing the story. Look, yeah.
The WWTR people will be all over you.
I'm pointing at the sign here in the studio as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So he wrestles Roman last year, and he loses. And they keep it so he stays strong. They have some of Roman's thugs help beat him up and cost him the match, but he doesn't come in and automatically finish the story. And at the time, there was some debate, you know, was that the right thing to do? Could, you know, do you risk, you mentioned Lex Luger earlier, do you cool him off and have people lose interest by making a full year go by before he gets another chance to do this? And he stayed strong through that whole year. And we get to right around Royal Rumble time. We start to hear The Rock might be coming back. And this has been in the works for a while. We've heard different years where The Rock would come back, do WrestleMania against his cousin, Roman Reigns. And it's never quite timed out properly. And it sounds like this is the year that it's going to happen, despite Cody Rhodes winning the Royal Rumble. And if you're not a hardcore wrestling fan, when you win the Rumble, you are guaranteed the championship match. And they make it look like Cody's going to step aside for The Rock. And the crowds hate it, right? The fans hate it. The people who are watching on the internet hate it. The people in the arenas are booing. They are invested in Cody. And The Rock, as we talked about, is one of the biggest stars in the world right now, not just in the wrestling business, because he hasn't been in the wrestling business much over the last 15 years or so. This is a legit superstar, and fans are always stoked when he comes back until he steps back into this world where fans have gotten used to cheering for the guys that are here every week. This is the story we're invested in, and you're just pushing it aside for this one-off. And so, to their credit, they pivot. They turn it into a tag team match on the first night with The Rock and Roman Reigns, his cousin, against Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, who is the Raw World Champion. And it's you know, if the good guys win and Cody and Seth at WrestleMania Night 2... Cody does get Roman Reigns one-on-one and, you know, no bloodline, no interference, nobody around. And if the baddies win on night one, The Rock and Roman Reigns win, then it becomes...
Bloodline rules.
They call it Bloodline rules, and it really just sounds like no DQ, but, you know.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Whatever that is going to look like. But were you surprised that they tried to slide The Rock in ahead of Cody? Were you surprised that when it went over poorly, they were willing to pivot? The Rock, if we're being fair to him, it was a risky thing to do to come in and be willing to go full heel, right? Like, you are a worldwide icon showing up on TV once or twice a week now, acting like an asshole. Now, acting, I guess, being the key word, and he's gotten pretty used to doing that. But like, the way this has all played out, did any of it surprise you? Because to me, the most surprising part wasn't that they tried to do it. It was the part that they were willing to pivot, because they never used to do that.
Kel surprise. That it was definitely a huge surprise to me that they were. I think the biggest surprise was that they were willing to pivot and they didn't try and do the old mantra, which was just to shove it down your throat.
You will like and what we tell you to like.
Yeah, and you'll like liking it. You'll like not liking it, damn
right,
it.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I was very surprised that they were willing to pivot, because in the past, it was like, no, this is what we're doing. We're going to go through with this. So shout out to WWE for willing to pivot. I mean, it's easy to criticize in hindsight by just saying, like, you should have had the foresight in thinking that fans would reject just Cody not being there.
Yeah.
Especially, and this all goes back to, I don't think he should have lost last year. I still think he should have won. I don't think that Roman's title reign has gotten any better from last year to this year.
Right.
Other than just saying he is now at whatever it is, over 1,300 days. Sure. Good for you. It nothing changes for me in that regard. Roman's had a dominating championship reign. Cool. Cody still could have won last year and then lost the belt back to Roman, and Roman could have carried it through, and he could have touted now I'm really going to show everybody that I am the head of the table and I'm the greatest champion of all time, and I'm never going to let this thing go. And then you could have had the Rock come in and say, you still could have had him come in and say, I acknowledge you and I agree, and I'm going to protect your back the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then Cody could have been chasing once again. I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin in 1998 won the Royal Rumble and then lost the championship not long after that. After WrestleMania, I should say, after he beat Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
And then he went back and won the Royal Rumble again the next year and then beat The Rock.
Right.
And at WrestleMania in 1999. So, it's not doing a disservice to the wrestler by having him reach the mountaintop and then lose it, and then it being as popular as they are, putting him back in the main event.
Well, this is an old wrestling philosophy thing, right? Which was always different when you think back to old school WWF versus old school WCW. Hulk Hogan was your longtime, forever champion, and they built up this constant, lineup of monsters. Here's Andre. Here's King Kong Bundy, right? Here's whoever's going to be Earthquake. And Hulk Hogan's going to have to slay all these monsters who are coming after his title. Whereas the other model is have a longtime bad guy champion and the good guy is always chasing it, right? He's the underdog. He's got to overcome everything. And they're both valid ways of telling a story, but we seem to have kind of lost faith in the idea of the good guy. I think what you're saying, that he could have won last year and then still gone on a chase again this year after getting screwed out of it, that would still work. They didn't want to go there, and they've just extended. Now, to their credit, like I said, I would have had him win last year as well, but he has been able to maintain, for the most part, the momentum that he had for a year. But there were times in the summer you were kind of like, I wish that it just done it, right? This story's getting a little long.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I totally agree that, he's been able to keep that momentum going by being one of the top guys in the company, top baby faces in the company. Good for him. He still could have done that as champion.
Yeah.
Losing the title and then going on the chase again. And sure, you couldn't have used the tagline, finish the story, but I honestly don't think that the finish the story tagline is honestly that great anyways anymore, other than being able to use it in the WWE 2K video game commercial or whatever.
Right.
I'm surprised. The biggest surprise is that they were willing to pivot and make and incorporate The Rock in a unique way.
Yeah.
And, good for them for doing the two night thing. If you're going to put back to back main event WrestleMania nights, who are your biggest stars? Cody's there. Rock is there. Reigns is there.
Yeah.
And good for Rollins for being there too. Sure. I mean, Rollins, and sorry, that's not to cast aspersions on Seth Rollins. He's a fantastic wrestler, no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's on the top like Cody is. He's not that over, particularly with a main event crowd. That's what I would say.
I think that's right. And this is going to be a good moment for him to rub up against all three of those guys and then go have his match on Sunday against Drew McIntyre. And they were able to make it make sense. And I think there has to be some credit given to The Rock as well, who just as easily as this big star who had signed, to come in and do this, for him to recognize, they're not feeling it, right? This isn't going to work. I'm happy to turn this into a different story. And whether or not that means he still wrestles his cousin later, SummerSlam or next year's WrestleMania or some big stadium somewhere, whatever it might be, you can still
SummerSlam, I think.
Yeah, you can still do that. But he had to be willing to go, yeah, this isn't going to work. And he could have just as easily, like the company would have at one point, said, no, we're doing this. This is what we agreed to. This is the story. He went, no, okay, you know what? They're not feeling it. I've done this before. I've seen the Die Rocky Die thing. I've done Hollywood Rock before. And that's a fun character, too. The good guy Rock is fun. Bad guy Rock has been so good, right? Like, it's entertaining. Yep. And so let's just find a way to make it work. So turn it into a tag team match to set up the second match, man. I think they've done... it was a mistake to try to go where they tried to go. And to their credit, they didn't double down on it. They've pivoted. And the story since then has been really fun to watch.
It absolutely has. And I'm looking forward to how it plays out. I think the where WWE has gone really well, too, is utilizing Rock in this way, because Rock has been able to kind of blur the lines of some of the stuff that he's done. Did you see the thing after last Monday night where, not the go-home show, but the Monday before, where, whatever, he's beating the hell out of Cody and he's bleeding and he takes out the belt that says, like, Mama Rhodes or whatever, and he whips him. And then he posted something online afterwards where you saw after the show went off the air.
He's beating the shit out of Cody until the our TVs go black, right? The screen, the show is over.
And that's right. And then somebody posts something that was shot using a cell phone. And it said something, and they said, you hear
the producer or we're off the air.
Yeah, we're clear. Yeah. And then Rock says, no, fuck that. We're not clear.
Right.
And he continues to beat the shit out of Cody.
Right.
And I had somebody at work who's not a wrestling fan come up to me and say, like, what was that? That was weird.
Yeah.
So, like, they've hooked somebody all of a sudden with something. Somebody who's in casual mainstream audience, and they see this happen, and they're happy to interact with the product all of a sudden, and that all of a sudden makes them more likely to want to watch the WrestleMania event as a whole. So, like, Rock's got them all of a sudden. That's exactly what they want. And to your point that you mentioned, whatever the hell is several minutes ago, all of a sudden they watch, they see somebody that they like, and maybe they're back in with some character that they get invested in.
Sure. Yeah, it was such a unique way to do it, right? It's what did Victor Newman and Jack Abbott keep talking about after Young and the Restless ended last week? Do they just stop until I come back tomorrow afternoon? What do the characters on Friends do in between? This is The Rock saying, yeah, no, I don't care that we're off the... This is real life. I'm going to beat the shit out of this guy. And yeah, you put up this kind of guerrilla video that's, you know, yeah, no, I don't care that the show's over. I hate this guy. I'm going to beat the shit out of him. And it, you know, you still know what you're looking at, but it feels more real. It puts a different spin on an old trope in wrestling. This is probably the first episode of TCA where I've referenced Jack Abbott and Victor Newman, but I think
Young and the Restless, that was not a reference I was expecting.
So, like I said, I've been back and forth to visit my parents a couple times. Like, mom's still a bit, you know, you walk into the living room a couple times and it's on in the afternoon.
Sure. All right.
Yeah. Not here. Not me. I don't know their names. It's just
You don't watch it on a weekly basis. You've got it on. You've got the DVD sets.
Daily basis. Yeah. When you look at the rest of the card and how they've built this up, it's two nights, which has been the thing since the pandemic started. And at that point, it was this show is being conducted in an empty training center, like they have a gym of their own where they teach all these guys to wrestle and how to do it. And since no one was allowed to be in stadiums together, they could have the number or the half, 1/2, the number of people in the building by splitting their WrestleMania card into two nights. Plus, there's nothing else on TV. There's no other sports happening. The world is closed. And they thought, you know, we can capitalize on this during the pandemic by having two nights of WrestleMania. Well, it worked pretty well in terms of holding people's attention, and they've just sort of stuck with it. And I think it was the year before, maybe 2 years before, you might have a better memory than me, 2019 or 2018, when in the triple threat match in the main event was Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda. And that went on at like 12:30. They'd had like a 14-match show. It had gone since like 6 o'clock when you count the pre-show matches and all that stuff. And it was way too much. And so you either were going to have to start having way fewer matches at WrestleMania or do this two-night thing. And when it worked during the pandemic, I think they said, you know what, we should try this in full stadiums and see how it goes. And I don't think there's a chance they're ever going back now. Like, this is two nights of everybody's attention, of selling out a 50, 60, 70,000-seat stadium on back-to-back nights. This is, they're never going back, right?
No, especially now that they see the revenue that's involved.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a journalism professor way back in the day just told me, just follow the money if you ever want to figure out why somebody's doing something or what happened. And now that you see them doing this multiple times, it's all about just the amount of money that they can make off two nights playing out of or doing this out of where in a football stadium this year at the Link. It's going to be. They're never going back to just one
and
night.
And two nights
especially,
without knowing the card. Like, this went on sale in the fall or, like, late summer last year. Tickets. Mm-hmm. You know you're buying tickets to WrestleMania. You don't know if The Rock's going to be there. You don't know the co-main events. We, as we sit here and talk on Wednesday afternoon, we still don't know, other than the two main events, what for sure is going to be on each night. And so you can almost force people who are traveling, and lots of people do travel for WrestleMania, to buy both nights because they don't know when they buy tickets. Well, I'd really like to go to both, but I got to make sure I see whatever it is. Sami Zayn, that's my favorite guy. I don't know what night he's going to be on. I guess I'll pay for both nights.
Well, it's all of a sudden this night one has consequences for night two. So
right.
You want to make sure that you want to know night one leads directly to night two.
Yeah.
And so now you need to see both nights. And it's not so much of wanting to choose which one to go to. It's like, well, now I feel like I have to go to both nights.
Right.
So WWE's got you. They've got you.
Yeah.
And, you know, good for them, for the business folks, for figuring this out. Nick Khan is definitely a guy who is very pleased with how all of this has worked out. Also, I just, in the background right now, I have on, we were talking about Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville match.
Yeah.
So I just threw on the WWE Network here, and it's that match that's happening right now. And man, it was when Wee Man slammed Sammy. Man, that was good. The crowd popped like fucking crazy. It was so good. Good. I was so pumped to see Sammy in that match, man, because like that's a huge spot. It's not for a main title, but like that is a massive deal to wrestle Johnny Knoxville. To have to carry a celebrity.
Yeah, that was going into the release of the last Jackass movie, right?
That's
and so
right.
That's what they were promoting. You get yourself into a mainstream, you know, like you said, wrestling Johnny Knoxville, even in 2022, 2023, whatever it was.
Yeah,
you're a key part of the show, and they're trusting you to make that guy look okay in a wrestling ring, and he just leaned right into it. He was terrific.
Yeah, absolutely. And like good for him too. I think I talked to him not long before that Mania, and he said to me, he's like, not everything has to be I'm wrestling for the title or I'm being misused. He was like, what more other than wrestling for a title is better at Mania than wrestling Johnny Knoxville?
Right.
So like Sammy was pumped. He's leaning into it. He knows that people trust him. And I'm always so fired up to see like good guys get rewarded. And like Sami Zayn is undoubtedly one of the good guys. So I'm always pumped for Sammy.
Well, you want to talk about topical references like The Young and the Restless. Let me take you back to WrestleMania 11, 1995.
Right.
Bam Bam Bigelow versus New York Giants legend Lawrence Taylor. And that's a big spot. That's a main event. You're bringing in an NFL star to main event your biggest show of the year. You've got to trust the guy who's going in there with them. And Bam Bam was a pro. He'd been around for a while, incredibly agile for a big man. Like, if you aren't a wrestling fan, but you are a Giants fan who liked Lawrence Taylor, you look at Bam Bam and go, fuck, that's a scary guy, right? Like, I believe that guy is a bad guy, is a scary dude. And yet they trusted him to go out and carry this NFL guy who had no experience and make him look credible in the ring and be willing to lose to him, right? And they made sure Bam Bam got paid for it, because in the world of wrestling, it's not great that you just lost to a football player, but it is a business. And so, you know, you trust your Sami Zayns to make these guys look good. You trust your Bam Bam Bigelows to make these guys look good. And it is a key spot. And in a lot of ways, it's the biggest spots for people who are coming in who are more casual, right? Like, oh, that's the guy who's wrestling against Floyd Mayweather, or that's the guy who's taking on Lawrence Taylor. You get attention that maybe the championship match, who we all as wrestling fans care about, but as more mainstream fans, you're like, oh no, I'm more interested in the guy that's wrestling Johnny Knoxville this weekend.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like it's that was huge. I mean, I'm never going to look back fondly upon that LT Bam Bam match. I didn't necessarily love it, but I will say that, you know, good for Bam Bam for getting in that spot. He absolutely deserved it.
Yeah, and you got paid you get paid quite well to main event a WrestleMania, and it, by all accounts, they took good care of him. So
yeah, big time. Yeah, and it was Big Show that wrestled Mayweather.
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I remember hearing a story from Big Show that said he said, "You can actually punch me, like punch me." Or no, it was in the lead up to the match. He said, like in one of the promotional things on Raw or whatever, he said, "You can actually punch me, like punch me in the face. It's fine." He's like, "But when you do, like, I'm going to be really fucking angry." So he's like, "You better get the hell out of here," because he was like, "I will be coming for you afterwards." And so so Mayweather punches him and then gets the frig out of Dodge.
Nose.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Gets the hell out of Dodge. And so it was just like his cronies were left to suffer the wrath of Big Show afterwards.
So this year's WrestleMania, you know, we've sort of talked about the Cody and Roman thing, and we can circle back to it. But, you know, it is a good looking card. I'm interested in Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. You know, obviously the Seth versus Drew story has been pretty fun. They've had CM Punk sprinkled in there a little bit, you know, but he's been injured, so won't be able to come. But there's some good looking stuff on the card. I'm curious, what has your attention outside of the main event picture that you're looking forward to?
Well, my boy Sammy wrestling Gunther for the IC strap.
Yeah.
I think that Sammy should go over in that match. Gunther will then move on to Cody probably for the, I mean, spoiler about what we're going to talk about, but I mean, we'll move on to the world championship picture, I think, and deservedly so. You go on a run like he has, and I think you deserve a main event slot. And that's what Gunther has done. So Sammy goes over, the ultimate underdog, gets the redemption story of sorts after coming so close at the championship just a few months ago, or last year, I should say. I'm pumped to see Sammy in that spot again. Otherwise, you know, I think the Bayley EO Sky match could be decent.
Yep.
I think Bayley could go over in that one. She's got a good character arc with what she's been going through. EO, one of the top wrestlers in the world, no doubt. It's all over the place. Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso, that should be a good match as well. Brother versus brother. I think I saw it was the fourth ever brother versus brother match. First one since not brother versus brother. And it always just obviously harkens back to Brett versus Owen.
Of course,
one of the
it does.
Best WrestleMania matches of all time.
Everything in my sports life does.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you know, it honestly, top to bottom, the card intrigues me. Even matches that I'm like not sure I'm super in on, such as the aforementioned Ray and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom. You know, it's got Rey Mysterio. It's got the potential to surprise.
Sure.
And Dom Mysterio has also been a fantastic heel that everyone legitimately hates. So good for him.
Yep.
The LA Knight AJ Styles match, I'm not sure I really care about, but AJ, still one of the top performers in the world.
Cooled LA Knight off a fair bit, like, and I understood why they didn't put him over last in the championship matches in the summer and the fall and stuff, but he's lost some steam, it seems like.
Yeah, he has, and I'm not sure he'll ever be a champion, but you know, he's been good.
Yep.
And I'm not sure what else you could ask for, really.
Yep.
The only match I'm like really not sure about is that six-man Philly street fight match they got going on, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus Karrion Kross and then the Authors of Pain.
It feels kind of just pigeonholed in there.
Just whatever.
Right.
But whatever, it'll come on, and sure, who knows? Surprise me.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give everything a shot this weekend.
Are you expecting big surprises, a big return? You know, maybe we'll get to this with the main event slot, that scene we talked about where Rock's beating the shit out of Cody off the air. You know, people were making a big deal out of the Stone Cold and John Cena, you know, trucks in the background. But at 30, they made a big deal out of bringing out a bunch of legends, even for a segment. You know, whether they're involved in matches or not, like, are you expecting a lot of legends to be kicking around? Are you expecting maybe them to announce any kind of big signings or a surprise run-in or return? We saw the Hardy Boys a couple of years back run in and return in a match. Anything like that? Or do you think we've got a pretty good handle on, you know, the actual talent that's going to be appearing here?
No, I think there will be some surprises. WWE is always one to want to include a surprise at WrestleMania. They have that quote-unquote WrestleMania moment. They always want one. So it wouldn't surprise me
before.
Yeah, wild. Eh? You know, I've seen things kicking around like Cena's going to be there, Stone Cold's going to be there, Undertaker's going to be around. Just, you know, the old guard to show up and just pop the crowd quickly and do something. You know, they always have somebody like come out to host or do something. I don't think
announce
they have
the attendance.
Yeah, announce the attendance. And so, like, maybe, you know, if somebody comes out to announce the attendance and they shit talk Philadelphia, so then Stone Cold comes out and stunners them. Yay! You know, whatever. It's a fun one.
Can I take you off track just a little bit?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the most retweeted tweet I've ever had was during whatever that WrestleMania was that The Rock hosted. Not the Miz and John Cena one. He hosted another one, I think, at like SoFi Stadium or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And he comes out to announce the attendance. And I tweeted, The Rock is wearing his wrestling boots, which he wasn't earlier. # WrestleMania. And blah, 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 like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And sure enough, remember he does that thing with somebody from the Wyatt family, one of the two, I can't remember now. He has like a 3-second match, sets the record for fastest all-time WrestleMania match. But somebody attacks him, he does the spine buster, the people's elbow, and that was it. But that it was just like, oh, hey, The Rock's in his wrestling boots. And I'm still like certain that's the most retweeted thing I've ever had. That's my claim to wrestling Twitter fame.
And now you have bots just constantly going back and liking that one, I'm sure.
Yeah. All the porn ladies love it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, maybe Stone Cold surprises and he comes out and you say, hey, Stone Cold's wearing a knee brace.
He's got a knee brace on.
He usually doesn't do that.
That we know of, yeah. I don't know what he wears in his day-to-day life, but...
No, nor do I.
Yeah. No, so I'm sure you're right. There'll be some legends kicking around. Let's talk about the big main events here that we got going on, though, because I'm intrigued on which story is the better one, and I'm pretty sure I know which one they're going to tell, but we talked off the top about Rock and Roman Reigns in the tag match in the main event on Saturday to set the stipulation for Sunday. They're taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And if the bad guys win, if The Rock wins, then it's bloodline rules in the one-on-one match on Sunday, which means all of those guys can be around and in theory screw over Cody. And that would set up the ultimate overcome all the shenanigans. Maybe a couple legends run in to help him. Maybe he overcomes it all himself. Hey, maybe The Rock accidentally hits Roman with a chair or vice versa or something like that that can set up their match later. But it becomes a little bit of a clown show and maybe you risk overbooking it. Whereas if you put Cody and Seth over on Saturday night and get the straight one-on-one, no interference match, now you can tell the story that, in my opinion, I'd rather see told. Cody beats Roman clean, one-on-one, no interference from anybody, and he goes over strong. But someone's got to get pinned on Saturday night to make that happen. You know, is The Rock coming back and taking a loss? Do you really want to pin Roman the night before he's going to have the one-on-one match? There's some... politics is the wrong word, but like, how do you keep everybody strong? I don't think if you want to go the other way, you can't pin Seth before he's going to have an unrelated world championship match on Sunday. You can pin Cody if he's going to win the next night. And to me, that's what seems like the easiest way out of this. Cody gets beat on Saturday and it's okay because he has his redemption on Sunday. Do you disagree with any of that? Which way do you think they're going to go? Which way would you rather see them go to set up the Sunday night main event?
Yeah, you know, all great options. I would say that I would lean towards Cody being pinned and losing.
Yeah.
And then The Rock on Sunday, The Rock turning on Roman to help set up what will then be a Cody win. I think that could be the biggest thing. And somebody will say like, oh, you don't want Cody's big moment being overshadowed by
The
Rock.
I'm the somebody who was going to say
that. All right. Like I don't think it overshadows it whatsoever. Everything that Cody has done to get to this moment, it's not like all of a sudden it's all for naught for storyline wise. You write a story and he reaches the mountaintop and
feels
he gets
a lot like the
win.
Night they crowned Chris Jericho by having everyone else beat up Stone Cold first.
Well, I mean, it's listen, I get it. I totally do. And maybe I just don't necessarily have an argument against it other than just like, it really doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
It really wouldn't bother me to see The Rock turn on Reigns and then Cody score the victory after that. Also, I think on Saturday night, Seth could suffer the pin. Hmm. He really could. And then he goes in for his match against Drew, touting that like he sucks and like, I am going to beat his ass easily. Seth looks like he has the win locked up. But then CM Punk comes out and, Drew looks like he has the win locked up and then CM Punk screws Drew.
Yeah.
Or something
okay.
Like that,
yeah.
Setting up a long-term road.
Or if you want to go the other way, you could go Seth gets injured in kayfabe, right?
Yeah,
and pinned on Saturday night. And that's how Drew gets one over on him. Seth is compromised going into his match. And then if you really wanted to, that sets up a future Seth Cody thing on like, I was there for you and it cost me my title. Like, so there's a bunch of interesting ways you can go here.
Doesn't that make it
great?
That's
what makes it fun.
Yeah. Shout out Jeff Jarrett. Ain't I great? It's got a lot of different ways that this could go. I think that Reigns could suffer the pin on Saturday night. And you could say like, you could tout like, oh, this is Roman Reigns' first time he's lost. And I guess he took the pin.
Yeah.
In that tag match
or whatever it was. Yeah.
You could still say like, oh, the night that he's supposed to defend his title one-on-one, he suffers a pin. Like, this is incredible.
And to me, maybe you don't yet have Rock turn on Roman. Maybe Rock swings the chair, Cody ducks, hits Roman, and then gets pinned, and now Roman or Cody gets the one-on-one clean match, and you know the feud starts between Rock and Roman because Roman's pissed that the Rock cost him after everything, right? It doesn't have to be a turn as much as a heel mistake. It's fun. Which one do you think they want to do on Sunday? The straight one-on-one, Cody gets his, you know, uninterrupted, uninterfered in crack at Roman, or do you think they want him to have to overcome all the bullshit of all the interference and the weapons and everything else?
I'll give you the answer via a reference that I'm hoping you'll understand.
Okay.
Hey, what's that restaurant that you like with the mozzarella sticks and all the goofy shit on the walls? Shenanigans.
Okay.
Oh, I'm gonna pistol whip the next guy who says shenanigans. It's from Super Trooper.
I didn't have it. No, I'm sorry, buddy. I waved at it.
That's okay. That's okay, man.
You took a shot. And I whiffed on it.
So I think that they want the one with shenanigans.
Yeah.
You bring in a bunch. I mean, especially look at the world that Triple H came from, which is the Attitude Era, which is shenanigans every single goddamn night.
Honestly.
And like the crowd's popping for it the whole time. So executed well, shenanigans work well. So I think that they would rather go with the Bloodline rules and have just a bunch of dudes running out constantly. Just shenanigans out your ass. That's, I think, what they're looking for.
There's going to be nine moments where you think, oh my God, they're screwing Cody again, and he'll kick out, or he'll get out of the way, or just overcome something. I get that. I understand the appeal for wanting to tell that story. I think I personally would rather see the straight one-on-one, but I'm with you. I think they're going to go the other way. He's going to have to overcome it all on Sunday night.
Yep, I agree. And I think that... And I... If they go on either side, I don't think that they can go wrong, really.
Yeah.
Because, like, Cody and Roman could carry the match. And also, like, who's to say that shenanigans still won't occur? Ref bump, Rock comes out, swings a chair, hits Roman, Cody wins. Something like that. Or swings the other way. The Rock stays loyal to Roman and then wants to... Maybe Roman wins again. And everyone just goes, what the fuck are we doing here? This guy's never going to lose.
Well,
and then
let me
Rock wants to wrestle.
Let me
Rock
float
wants
that
to wrestle
for you, man.
SummerSlam
this
or something
is the
like
story
that.
Nobody wants to hear, but we are, what, less than 100 days now from Roman breaking Hulk Hogan's all-time... Or is it Hogan or Bruno?
I think it's Bruno's.
It's Bruno's all-time longest WWF championship reign. You've come this far with it. You've got Roman within striking distance of it. You could screw Cody, keep him strong until SummerSlam if you wanted to do that, and keep the belt on Roman until he reaches that mark. Do you think that is on the table? Do you think that's important to them? Or is that just a nice way to kind of mess with the heads of those of us who think way too hard about this stuff? And like, it would be tempting once you've come this far to put it on that guy. But maybe as a historian, you're like, no, we don't really actually want a break. All those times they've come close. Like, there's like four guys who've gotten within one title win of tying Ric Flair for most ever, and they haven't given any of them a chance to actually do it. So there is a bit of a, you know, sometimes they do try to maintain the history. Do you think the fact he's this close to becoming the longest standing champion ever is on their mind at all?
Yes, I would say that it would be stupid for them not to consider that. It's kind of like a, if you're a GM in whatever sport you want to be, like if somebody call, if you're Brad Treliving and somebody calls about Austin Matthews, like it'd be stupid of you not to listen.
Right.
That's your friggin' job. You listen. So if you're the booker in WWE, if you're Triple H, you'd be stupid not to consider this possibility and then work backwards from what you think you can do with it. Now, I think that it is the least desirable out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because where else can you go? And I'm sure that we have asked ourselves this many, many times, even last year, where else do you go with Roman Reigns? He's been off TV so much this past year that are you going to have to keep him off even more while you build up more challengers? Like, is Gunther the guy that you want beating Reigns' streak?
Like, well, it this is the other like thing as well. You don't really, I want to watch Rock versus Roman. I don't want Rock taking the title off of him because that goes back to what we talked about earlier, right? You have to lean on the old stars. You don't make anybody in your own company, anybody who's going to be there for the long term. Someone has to be the guy to take it off of him. And if you let The Rock do it, you know, in a month, he just loses to somebody else under shenanigans and you nobody's any further ahead. So that's not your guy. Like, I want to see that match. I don't want to see Rock win the title. It's hard, man, but it would be on my mind, right? You know, if we just held out another 2-3 months, however many more days it is, we could set that record. We've come this far with it. And then, you know, Cody gets him in a cage match where no one could interfere at SummerSlam or whatever that had Money in the Bank, maybe, man, right there.
Yeah, I mean, like, sure. I mean, they could tell that story, sure. But it's just a matter of, like, can you buy it? Like, how often can you go back to the well? How much juice is
can't
left
be
here?
Cody again.
Yeah, I mean, does this tree have any more fruit to bear here?
Yeah.
Like, can you keep going back to Cody to try and finish the story?
Right.
It's like, man, this story sucks
all
the time.
This story's way too long.
It's like, it's the never-ending story. This is the greatest case of false advertising
I'm
since
super
my suit against the never-ending story.
I'm really pumped, or really bummed you pumped the brakes there. It seemed like you were going to sing the song for us. But
this is the song that never ends.
All right.
Yeah, I just like, where else do you go? If they do it, whatever, I can get it. I'm not going to be super pumped about it. I can definitely say that.
Yeah.
It'll be a story that I'm not enjoying all of a sudden. And you can tell, and Triple H or whoever the hell's in charge can say, like, oh, you just got to keep watching to figure out where the story goes. It's like, I don't know if I want to keep watching to see where the story goes. Like, I'm ready for the story to end. Yeah, you're losing me here.
Yeah. So, you know, all things told, this year's WrestleMania compared to the last few, you know, scale to 1 to 10, how excited are you for this show? Is it mostly about the main event? Is there enough there on the undercard that this puts it ahead of some other shows? Like, just sort of your anticipation level, your excitement level for WrestleMania.
I'd say if we're going to do it out of a Meltzer 5-star anticipation scale, I would say 4 to 5. Like, I'm very much looking forward to both nights. I'm going to be in the Sportsnet offices Saturday and Sunday evening. And so I'll have it on the TVs both nights, and it'll be, I'm associate producing. So I'm going to put it in some of the Sportsnet shows. I can guarantee you that.
Nice.
If you watch Sportsnet, it'll be in the shows. So, I mean, it's interesting. I'm
if you're watching Sportsnet Central on Saturday night and you hear somebody, you know, yelling if you smell in the background or whatever, you'll know where it's coming from.
That's right. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. You'll know exactly where it's come from. I'm very much intrigued. What about you?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you.
On the 5-star scale.
It'd be in the same neighborhood. I might go just a little bit lower because I think there's been previous year, no lower than 3.5 out of 5 stars. But there have been other years where I thought the rest of the card was stronger. But this main event story has been so good. Like, they absolutely have me in those moments. When I know when those segments are coming up, I've been tuning in. I've been watching The Rock, who's been showing up to work more often than Roman. Been watching that, been watching Cody. Like, both of those main events have me. The Seth versus Drew match has me because I'm a bit of a mark for CM Punk, and I do believe he'll be involved somehow. I am very much looking forward to Becky versus Rhea.
Yep.
But beyond that, the rest of the card isn't exciting me all that much. So I think there's been previous years where the whole show has me a little more excited than this year, but I can't remember the last year that the big story, like the main events, have ever had me as excited in a very, very long time. So it's a bit of a counterbalance, right?
We didn't even mention, too, that like for the Becky Rhea match, I think what's really interesting is, first of all, the promo that they cut on each other 2 weeks ago,
yep,
where Becky said, never mention my kids again. And she said something to the effect of, like, my dad never got to meet my daughter. And like, that hit home for me, too, yep, because like I just lost my dad. So I was just like, fucking hey, like, I'm all on Team Becky now.
Sure.
And then I saw
they did an angle on the MMA hour, on Ariel.
Yeah,
she was
on Ariel's show. And she on that they did an angle there, and then Becky also mentioned on that show, work or shoot, brother. I'm not sure, but she mentioned that her contract's up in like 2 months or something like that. And so, like, you could buy into that too, and you say, oh, maybe Becky's not supposed to win this match.
Sure.
So then if she goes over, even bigger surprise, even bigger conquering. So yeah, that match definitely has me hooked for sure, especially because Rhea's the top women's wrestler in the world right now.
Yep.
And it seems you cannot argue that. Inarguable is the word I would look for.
And like I said, so to me, the card's a little thin. It's not a bad card, but it's a little thin for me. But those top matches have me enough engaged that I'll be watching and we'll see how this plays out. So last thing I got to hit you with, though, off the wrestling thing, we have taken a bit of a break in the PWHL season. For Women's World Hockey Championships. For those who don't know, Kevin Mickey's been working with PWHL Toronto, and I think the last time you were on the show, Toronto was struggling a little bit, hadn't gotten off to a very good start. It was kind
and
of.
And where are they now?
They have run wild, brother, and sitting on top of the league. I'm just curious. You're down there. You're dealing with the athletes there. You're at every Toronto game and seeing how that's playing out. I'm just curious what you think the difference is and why. You know, was it just as simple as, you know, a team getting off to a slow start and not knowing each other and then eventually getting it clicked? Was there something that they changed? You know, what has been the biggest catalyst for the turnaround for the P-Dub Toronto?
So there aren't advanced analytics that we have access to yet, but for the nerds, I would point to the fact that Toronto, at least this is where the eye test meets analytics. My eye test told me that my eye test analytics said that Toronto was significantly outchancing the other team every single time they played. They weren't getting great goaltending from Kristen Campbell to start the season, but she has absolutely turned it around. She's been one of the best, if not the best goaltender in the league since their slow start. The puck is also going in the net now, mostly courtesy of Natalie Spooner, who is, to me, looked like the league MVP. She has been absolutely incredible. Red hot, buddy. She has been unreal. Every time she touches the puck, it looks like magic's going to happen with her. And also, again, to your point, cohesion. Getting used to a new system, getting everybody involved, getting everybody to buy into the system. They have a great coach in Troy Ryan, who is the head coach of the Canadian Women's National Team as well. Gina Kingsbury, the GM of the Canadian Women's National Team, also the GM of Toronto. So she knew what players she was bringing in. Troy Ryan needed to install the system. Everybody's buying into the system now. And the team is just absolutely flying right now. And you look, who's got the most represented players at the Worlds, and it's Toronto. Like, it's quite obvious that they're the best team in the league, and I am extremely biased because I work for the team, but I will say that I think TO is undoubtedly the best team in the league, and I think that they are a great shot to win the inaugural PWHL championship.
Ottawa's gotten hot lately. They've grabbed a playoff spot. If the playoffs started today, it would be Ottawa-Toronto.
The new playoff format, Toronto gets to choose.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know what? Toronto would be smart to choose somebody else, but we'll see how that plays out. It's going to be a fun finish coming back from Worlds. I think each team has four games left, something like that before the playoffs start.
Three games left. Yep.
Yeah. So that's going to be.
So Toronto's off, not home until May 1st. The season resumes in a couple of weeks now. But
yeah.
Because Toronto plays at a Mattamy Athletic Center. That's where Ryerson, now known as Toronto Metropolitan University, TMU. that's where they hold all their exams in
really?
That arena. So, it becomes a huge exam hall. So like the last 2 weeks of April, Yeah, exams will be held there.
Okay. Had no idea.
Funny enough.
Holding up the PWHL playoffs is exam week at Ryerson. So
that's right. Yeah.
Well, that's I did not know that was a wrinkle in the PWHL schedule this year. But you know what? This was fun, Kev. I appreciate you doing it. And you know what? If it does turn out that it's going to be Toronto-Ottawa in round one, we'll probably have to get you back on here. We'll tee up that series.
Oh, perhaps a friendly wager on the line.
I can almost guarantee that's what's going to happen. I'm quite certain we're both capable of being unbiased and very objective about how that's all going to play out. But that's probably what we'll do. So appreciate you doing this. Looking forward to WrestleMania. No doubt we'll be chatting throughout the weekend. But thanks for doing it, man. Appreciate it.
Of course. Anytime, buddy.
That's where we'll wrap this one up. Don't forget, coming up on Monday morning, Rob is out of town, so sitting in for him, our buddy Chris Hoffley from the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group. He hasn't been in for a bit. I'm counting on that guy to bring me this first round of the Ottawa Red Blacks' 10th anniversary beer. I'm not sure it's fully brewed yet. He better, though, if it's done, have brought some of that with him. So we'll see what that looks like on Monday morning with Chris Hoffley. For Kevin Mickey, my name is Matt Robinson. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.